Amen. Right. Hopefully not too much, given that I only have 20 minutes. So you'll be witnessing of miracles when that happens. Right, so I'm just interested, in the video, just give yourself a couple of seconds. What struck you? Were there any things that struck you when you were watching that video and listening to it? Did anything come to mind? Were any of you listening and watching it?
Steph, we normally think of the Holy Spirit as being a New Testament thing, I think. I think we think of it more as New Testament rather than Old Testament.
Right, so that's interesting. So the Holy Spirit, his presence has been with us from the beginning, and it was good to be reminded that there's a continuum. So something of who the personhood of the Holy Spirit is referenced in creativity and artistry. So for all of you creatives and artists out there who've lived in a kind of like a fairly Protestant kind of mindset for so long, who, you know, actually we do have that for me, that's a big thing. Because I come up in a church culture that kind of like did down the gifts, particularly the arts and creative arts. I'm not saying that art creativity is bound just up in art, because my husband is one of the most creative people that I know. He's one of the most creative thinkers, and he wouldn't call himself an artist. So I think you can be a creative scientist, a creative mathematician. But I do think that creativity is one of the hallmarks of the work of the Holy Spirit, and artistry as well, so to be celebrated. Was there anything else? I'm aware, is there an optimum space where I shouldn't walk because I echo?
No, just
try not to walk too much. I'm trying to move. I'm trying to stay to 20 minutes and I'm trying not to move. This is really difficult for me, people. Right, anybody else?
The idea that the word spirit comes together with energy, that power and energy.
Hebrew is such a poetic language. I haven't yet embraced it, but it is. There's a poetic. Do you think that's the Holy Spirit? Shut up, Steph. Okay, so I was... one of the things that I loved about the Bible Project is they are quite poetic in the way that they talk about the Bible. And I love that. They bring that out. And what was one... I'm going to have to come over here because I can't do this that way. Thank you. I'm just looking for the technicians leading, being not being technical. Okay, one of the things that they said was that, I'm just looking at some of the quotes. Above the chaos, God's Spirit is there to bring life, order, and beauty. Above the chaos, God's Spirit is there to bring life, order, and beauty. Now, I think we have, in our church tradition particularly, I've spent most of my life encountering the Holy Spirit. And when people talk about the Holy Spirit, they refer to the Holy Spirit as it. Can I just be really clear? I'm really passionate about this. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's part of the Trinity. Now, I'm not going into Trinitarian theology right now, you'll be pleased to know, because we don't have time to do that. But there is something about the relationship between the three persons of God. That's a difficult, mysterious concept for any mind to get hold of, least of all mine. But I know that the Holy Spirit is a person, and he reveals Jesus, and Jesus reveals God, and they are all, those three, about bigging each other up, to use modern parlance. They exist to say, isn't he wonderful? Isn't he wonderful? No, he's wonderful. No, you're wonderful. Now, it's not a kind of like horrid, sycophantic nonsense. It is a relationship of love that reaffirms love. And the Holy Spirit is crucial in that. And I think some of our church traditions may well have sidelined the Holy Spirit and focused either on Jesus or God the Father. I believe that actually God is bringing us into a season where he wants his church to become reacquainted with the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm also aware that when we start talking about things like that, the Holy Spirit is not a comfortable person to engage in. I don't think Jesus is a comfortable person. And I went to look back at particularly the New Testament because it's a good reference point. I think Acts is a great place to start. If you haven't read through Acts, can I encourage you to do that? Ephesians in 5:18 says, be filled with the Spirit. Now I got a bit, you know, what on earth does that being filled with the Spirit mean? I think there are several places in Acts. There are loads of places in Acts, but there's a couple of places I'm just going to pull out that I think just give us a little bit of an idea of what that might mean. So, and it's an uncomfortable ride. First of all, you've got Pentecost. For most of us, we're familiar with Pentecost. Right near the beginning of Acts, where the disciples... Now, these people have been living with Jesus and working with Jesus for 3 years. So you'd think a bit of Jesus has rubbed off on them. But there's something about the Holy Spirit and them encountering the Holy Spirit which gives them a completely different perspective on life and is transformative, is really transformative and very powerful and totally uncomfortable. These people start doing things they've never done before. But interestingly, right at the beginning of their encounter with the Holy Spirit, they start talking in other languages for a start, first thing in the morning. But also, that encounter with the Holy Spirit's power and their completely changed perspective on the world forces them outside the comfort zone that they've been in for several days, weeks, I don't know. Their immediate response to that powerful encounter with the person of the Holy Spirit is to go out and tell people about Jesus. They cannot contain it. There's no reference in Acts to them going, oh, do you think we should? Do you think we should just stay a little bit longer and pray about it? No, their automatic response was to behave in a way that was totally transformed. And then Peter stands up. Now, bearing in mind, he's quite an unschooled man. There are other men in the disciples, group of the disciples, who were more educated than Peter, who probably had a better grasp of the scripture than Peter. Peter's immediate response is to stand up in front of all these people who are going, oh, look at this. Some people are bemused. Other people are thinking they're completely bonkers. Some people are thinking that they've drunk too much. And Peter, the first thing Peter does is to stand up in front of all these people and speak eloquently. And again, at some other points where he and another disciple are brought before the religious leaders not long afterwards and are castigated and taken to task for being disruptive by religious leaders, Peter then speaks very eloquently. And one of the things that is noted there, it was, and these people noticed that these men were uneducated and they had spent time with Jesus. I find it really fascinating. There's another place in Acts 10, which I love. I love all Acts 10. So if you're going to read a chapter, read chapter 10. It's totally mad, totally bizarre, full of people having these odd dreams and visions and whatever. And it's the first bit where the Holy Spirit starts saying, okay, people of God, this message is not just for the Jews. Because at that point, the disciples had just stuck with the Jewish people. To some extent, they stayed within their comfort zone. But the Holy Spirit pushed them further out. And Cornelius is a guy who has this. He's a God-fearing, described as a God-fearing man. Has this encounter, has this vision, this bizarre encounter with this angelic being. Totally weird. Let's face it. We read it in the Bible. Don't question it. That's weird. If some kind of supernatural angelic being appeared to you guys today, appeared to me, well, I'd be totally freaked. I would be, okay? But they take it as read. This is kind of normal. This is normal for them. They don't seem to question it, which, anyway. So, but then, almost at the same time, Peter, who is being very Jewish about all he does and says, is told to eat anything. So he automatically, and he's told that in some kind of dream or vision. Again, it's not very clear how the Holy Spirit, but he communicates very clearly. And he basically says, you're going to receive a visit from this bloke's servant. His name is Cornelius. Cornelius is going to call you to go and speak to him. At the same time, Cornelius is having the same conversation. Holy Spirit is having the same conversation with Cornelius. Cornelius, send some blokes over to this guy Peter. He's got something to say to you. Now, isn't it interesting? I find this really interesting. This is a point that I kind of clocked. Is if the Holy Spirit is really good at communicating to individuals without us, why the heck did he say all that malarkey? What was all that about? You know, why on earth? Why bother including Peter in it in the first place? The Holy Spirit could quite easily communicate with Cornelius without. So again, there's something about this encounter that involves us. God doesn't want to do it without us. Can't understand why personally. Think he'd do it much better on his own. But he doesn't want to do that. That's not his choice. He wants to engage humanity. He wants to engage you and me in what he's doing. And the Holy Spirit is really big on doing that in really interesting ways. What came out of that is Cornelius and his whole family become followers of Jesus. And it's interesting, isn't it, that Peter is about to go into his, and this is what God says. And he started to kind of tell Cornelius and his family all about what it is, this great word, and bang. In verse, where is it? Come on, Stephanie. 44 and 45. As, where is it? This is the time when I wish, here we are. I could try and find it. I can't even read it. It would be helpful if I was in Acts and not Mark, though, wouldn't it? There we are. Here we are. That's it, Stephanie. Keep going. That's it. While Peter was still speaking, how rude. Rude. Peter's speaking. The Holy Spirit fell upon them all. Bang. It's like Holy Spirit, okay, Pete, thanks, mate. You've done your job. Let me just, I'm here. But I just think it's a bit of humour. I think it's God's sense of humour, actually, in that one. It's the Holy Spirit going, okay, then, I want to do it with you, but I'm in charge here, people. and what was really interesting is, and all the circumcised believers, so these were all the Jewish Christians, all the believers who'd come with Peter to kind of tell Cornelius what it was all about, were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. That's you and me, folks, by the way. We're the Gentiles. We're not part of the chosen race, but we are. And I kind of think that was, they were kind of like, so the Holy Spirit is going, I'm pushing you out of your comfort zone, people. I find that really challenging. And also, I kind of think that this was, there was something transformative going on. So the Holy Spirit came. So something must have happened that was similar to their Pentecost experience that happened to these Gentiles, Cornelius and his family, that they could say the Holy Spirit has fallen on them. So there was something experiential about what happened at Pentecost that they were able to go, they're having a very similar experience to us because how it was outworking in their response to God. So it's not just about knowing the Holy Spirit. You have to experience him. You have to encounter him. The other place where I find the Holy Spirit interesting, that causes me questions, is Acts 18. And there's a couple of people who become friends with Paul, Priscilla and Aquila. They're brilliant people. I find them fascinating, but we're not going to go into them. They happen to come across a guy, a Jew, called Apollos, who was very eloquent. He'd had what they call, what Dax calls as the, he only knew the baptism of John. That's John the Baptist. So this Apollos guy had been on this kind of spiritual journey for quite a while. He'd been baptized at some point by John the Baptist. and had a really clear idea of the scriptures and was able to really understand it. But then it was something about he didn't have something. This is really interesting. There was something he didn't have that Priscilla and Aquila identified. There was another dynamic that he hadn't embraced yet about this whole God thing, encountering God, and they explained it to him. And it was something, it's a, when the Greek for explanation is to, something comes out from within. There's an action, there's something that's stirred up in here that wasn't there before. Priscilla and Aquila explained it. Now, the reason why I'm drawn to that passage is that in my early 20s, I've been a Christian all my life. I've never known a time when I've not had Jesus with me. I'm really grateful for that. I've always had that deep, deep sense of being anchored somewhere other. And I'm so grateful. It's been, for most of my childhood and my teenage years, I didn't have any Christian friends. I had friends, honestly. But none of them had a faith. So I had this kind of like interior world that me and God shared together. And that, Jesus was kind of, it was anchored me. And there were certain places I didn't go. But when I went to college to do my degree, I went to the CU there. And I noticed that there were quite a few people who shared my faith but had something other. And I couldn't put it that up for there. I was there for months. I couldn't figure out what it was that they had. Every now and then when we sang songs and things like that, they would babble in some kind of odd, make some odd sounds. They'd do that. They would regularly have prayers that seemed super, super insightful. Like they kind of like had a different dynamic to the way they engaged with God that I didn't have. And I didn't put two together. Bear in mind that my parents, my father was an Anglican vicar, but they came from a fairly charismatic wing of the Anglican Church. Thank you. So I was just curious. Now, it wasn't until one of those people prayed for me that I encountered the Holy Spirit in a different way. I'm not saying that wasn't a Christian before, but there was something about my experience from that point onwards that shifted my world. It was like I was living in muted tones and suddenly my world came a bit brighter, a lot brighter. and I can only put that down to this, I was filled with the Spirit. So I know that there was a different thing about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now for me, I was praying about this morning and I've just been given me time limits. And I felt very, very strongly that we as a community are going to be brought into a different depth of knowledge of God. And that means we are being challenged and will be challenged to encounter the person of the Holy Spirit in new and different ways. And that's uncomfortable, folks, but it's also quite exciting. Because I think God wants to equip us for a new season. I do think in the world today, he's equipping Christians for a new season generally. And I just felt very strongly that we needed to step out in faith. And this morning I was going to kind of start the ball rolling further, whatever that is. So it's not an uncomfortable place. It's not a comfortable place for me right now because this is where the Holy Spirit kicks in. I felt like I needed to wear this T-shirt today. I don't know whether you can see it. I don't wish to embarrass you, Maisie, but I'm sorry you're here. Maisie designed this T-shirt. Now, it's not the reason why I'm wearing it. I'm not picking up my daughter who's there over there. But I don't know whether you can see what the picture is. Half sheep, half lamb, half lion, actually. So it's the lion and the lamb. All right, so I love this image. I wore this on Tuesday night. I've been really wrangling. On Tuesday nights, I help at a soup kitchen in the middle of Hull. And I've been really wrangling. I'm the only Christian there. I really wrangled with why I'm there. I'm constantly wrangling with why I'm there and praying for opportunities, and I haven't had any. I'm quite open, the fact, you know, if people ask me, I'll say I'm motivated to be here because of Jesus. I'll say that. Don't usually get any further than that. Anyway, last Tuesday, I wore this T-shirt, and I had so many I had five or six comments about, I like your T-shirt. And one bloke who comes in, he's one of our regular service users, as we call them, he's a really sweet guy. He came up and he goes, oh, I like that. It's Lion Lamb. Is that about Jesus or is it about Robin Hood? I kind of went, okay. I said, it's about Jesus, but Robin Hood? He went, yeah, because the Russell Crowe film, he talks about the lion and the lamb. And I kind of went, of course, yeah, because the Crusades and things. Well, I wasn't going to go on the Crusade line, but, you know, beat him to it. I said, yes. It's a Jesus thing, and my daughter designed the T-shirt. But I had quite a few. And then I had another encounter with someone. Now, what I'm trying to say is that Holy Spirit works in different ways, and it's giving him the opportunity to do that, and also taking the opportunity when he presents it. And it also links with that whole thing, Fiona, of actually the Holy Spirit is pretty creative and can be quite artistic in the way that he communicates. So there's something about this design that actually there's a lot of God in it, because I know that Maisie prayed about this, and there's a lot, and her part of the reason why she put the designs on the T-shirts is to offer a talking point and actually have a cool T-shirt to wear that doesn't have an Ichthys fish on it. For those of you who know the fish thing, because there aren't that many. Yeah. So anyway, before the children come in hordes, which I'm happy for them to do, because the Holy Spirit can cope with that as well, I felt that there was, thankfully, there were two groups of people. The things that came to my mind was chaos and beauty. And I know that there are people here who are living in chaos internally, or are very close to people who are living in chaos. Either they live chaotic lives or they're going through a crisis. I think we should pray about those people. One of those people, and actually this was really meaningful for me, because I was going, Lord, I don't want to be all prophetic-y things. I do this quite normally in other settings. I have very clear words and pictures for people because that's how God talks to me. I will see words over people. Naomi and Maisie would see this, because we went to Soul Survivor, and I would regularly go wandering off because I had a word for Peter, somebody. It literally would be a word hanging over someone, and I would have to go and talk to them about it. And it doesn't happen here very often, and I don't know why that is, but I want to start. I feel like God's challenging me to say it more. So there's people here who are living in chaos, or know people profoundly living in chaos or heartache, and the Holy Spirit wants to meet you or meet those situations. So there's that. There's other people here who God has put something within them that is overtly artistic and creative, and it is in their very guts and in their very being, and it gnaws at them. There's this sense of, all I can describe it as is this, because you can't get it out and you haven't had a way or a vehicle of getting it out yet. And the Holy Spirit, I think, wants to speak into your lives too. You're going to start encountering situations where you are going to express that deep, okay? So, I want to pray with those people. So that means that you need to put your hand up and be brave, and other people around them will need to pray for them. Now, this isn't the kind of thing we normally do here, because we're not showy. We don't tend to like drawing attention to ourselves, particularly our own individual and personal needs or the needs of other people. But I think we need to start being a bit more honest about where we are. Okay. So I'm going to kick this off, because this is really raw for me. So God has really challenged me that, you know, there's that song up there. Don't get emotional, Stephanie. There's that song about us, God leading us into a place of sacrifice. And God has really challenged me that I need to start giving things up. and I need to be in a silent... This is not a miserable thing, by the way, because I want to engage more in God. I need to drop certain things in order to gain certain things, all right? And one of those is, this is really embarrassing for me, I like having a drink of alcohol. My family know that. I actually come from a family of alcoholics, so I'm aware that alcohol has a real pull on some of my family line, and I do think there's a dynamic there. So I am going to be really honest with you guys that I actually want to become teetotal. And you need to pray for my family more than me. Because I love it. I love the whole eating and drinking. There isn't many things other than vodka I don't like drinking, I enjoy. Okay, but, and I'm not saying that we all have to become teetotal. I'm just saying that the Holy Spirit has challenged me to start putting certain things down that distract me. Does that make sense? Okay. So I think he's challenging me to make some sacrifices, because he's saying, how real is this, Stephanie? If you believe that you can that I can transform the world and that you want to be a part of that, how serious are you? Stop looking around. So that's my personal challenge. I'm not saying that for you guys. That's my personal challenge. So I invite you to pray for me, because by the end of the year, by Christmas, I plan to just be drinking tonic water or whatever, or find a viable alternative. But I'm serious about that. So you can hold me to account by Christmas, and you go, hey, Steph, how's it going? Because I need you to hold me to account. So I would like people, I know that Steve would particularly need prayer for his family. His daughter is expecting her second child. Sorry?
Son.
Your son and daughter-in-law, sorry. And they found out 2-3 weeks ago? Okay, so the baby is not growing the way that it should do, and it's thrown Steve's family into chaos. And Steve spoke to me just this morning. He didn't know what I felt God was saying to me this morning, and I asked him, could we pray for Steve and his family? So particularly those people who are sitting next to Steve, I would like you to pray for him. But I'm also going to ask for other people just to put your hand up. You don't have to stand up, but I would like you to put your hand up and just say, I would like to encounter the Holy Spirit in a different way. Please, can you people pray for me? So I'm not going to ask you to stand up or do anything dramatic. I would just like you to acknowledge that there is something within you that would like extra, like other people to impact. So thank you, Ruth. You don't have to explain. Fiona, thank you. I'm one of those people. Steve would like prayer too. Is there anybody else? David? You don't have to say. Alex? Emily? All right then. So what I'd like us to do is just be those people, round people. Would you just gather around them? Now, there's nothing spiritual about gathering around someone, or you know, but it's more saying, I identify with you. So would you, so were those people, so David, Ruth, Emily, Steve and Alex, so some, and Fiona, you might need to get up and move and actually stand around them. There's something about identifying, so it might mean that some people have to get up, okay? Now, the other thing is touch. Excuse me, Stephen, I'm going to use you. Some people don't like being touched, but there is something about, excuse me, do you mind if I touch you? In an appropriate place. There is something about, I always ask this now, because some people don't like being touched, and actually sometimes it's nice to be able to pray for someone, but to touch them in an appropriate place. So it's always good, if you want to go and identify with someone and pray for them, just say, would you mind if I put my hand on your shoulder? Just, and it's a process of, and sometimes actually for me, when people have touched me, I do feel a sensation of heat, and usually that's linked with the Holy Spirit kind of like just encountering you. So can we just be brave? Whether you feel that we don't need to be experts in this. I am certainly no expert in this, but I do think we need to engage in praying for each other. So if there are those people, so Fiona, Steve, Alex, some people might need to actually physically get up and go to those guys, because there's something about that back row, I think. David and Ruth and Emily. Please go and pray for them. And just pray for me as and when, please. Okay, so...